Some of us woke up this morning refreshed but somewhat bored from the past week. Others of us woke up this morning exhausted and happy. But no matter how we arrive this morning, we are all here for the same reason, that we are imperfect people in an imperfect world in desperate need of God's perfect love. And so we begin worship by putting ourselves all on equal footing, confessing our common sin, and hearing God's words of forgiveness for each of us. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose compassion endures forever. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin to God. Compassionate God, we confess to you all our sins. Our burden is heavy, and we cannot free ourselves. In your mercy, call us back to you. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Restore us to dwell in your peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Rest in God's love. Amen. So let us pray. Teach us, good Lord God, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. I invite you to be seated, except for the kids, whom I invite to come forward. Mr. Josh is still driving back from Mexico, so I'm going to give you a special message today. Come have a seat. They're driving in cars. Friends, a lot of our friends from church today are driving back from Mexico. We took a big trip down there, and when we went down, we knew we were going to take a lot of things with us. And I said, okay, I'm going to need a bunch of socks, and we're going to have food. So I thought, well, I better pack a bunch of napkins. And then I thought, well, we'll need some paper towels to keep clean. And then I thought, well, we're going to need some silverware to eat with. And I said, okay, I'm ready to go all the way to Mexico like this. And I realized, wait a minute, I can't do that. It's too much for me to carry all by myself. But Carly, would you hold this for me? And Mateo, would you hold this for me? And Jude, would you hold this for me? And would you hold this for me, Evie? And suddenly, what was too much for one person to carry, we can all carry together and share, because there's enough socks in there for all of us and enough silverware for all of us. So sometimes, if you think, oh no, I've got too much I have to carry all by myself, ask someone to help carry it with you and do it together. All right. Well, one of the people we can ask to help us is God, and we do that through prayer. And I want to invite you to fold your hands and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us. We love you. Help us to love each other. Amen. All right. I invite you to put those things in the manger. Those are going to be gifts for veterans. And I want to invite the rest of you to follow Miss Courtney to Sunday school, where you'll learn about going on a trip with Jesus. As they go, let's sing them out. reading from the book of Exodus.
This morning's first reading is from Exodus. The Israelites journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in that wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all of the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites. So Moses went, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as you are able as we hear the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not take a road leading to Gentiles, and do not enter a Samaritan town, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with a skin disease, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
We expect presents, but Jesus gives presents. To explain what I mean by that, I want to point out that in our scripture today, Jesus sends 12 apostles out on a mission trip. And this past week, Faith Lutheran sent 12 of our member, or 13, excuse me, of our members out on a mission trip, along with three members of St. John's Episcopal Church. There we all are gathered. And we went on a mission trip to Baja California, Mexico, to a school and orphanage for special needs children called Rancho Santa Marta. The school part of it functions like a really well-organized school, and there are children from all over the local countryside who come and spend the day learning and then go home with their families. But there's also about 50 kids who are orphans, who live there in homes with about 8 kids and a couple who watches over them. And I say they're special needs, and sometimes the special needs are obvious. I've got a picture of me with one of the groups of kids that I got to have dinner with on our first night there. So the person on the far right, his name is David, and he's been there since he's 6 years old. He's missing a leg starting above the knee, and so it's obvious what his special needs are. But the guy in the orange shirt next to him, the bright orange shirt, his name is Francisco, and I have known him since I first went 9 years ago to Rancho Santa Marta. I have yet to figure out what his special need is, other than he is a very energetic young boy, but that seems pretty standard. But as I had dinner with these kids, about halfway through the dinner, Francisco said to me, he said, "Do you think that those of us boys who are here, do you think we are good, or do you think we're bad?" And in that moment, my first inclination was to say, well, I got to tell you about Jesus, because after all, that's what a mission trip is, right? We go forth and tell people about Jesus. But here's the thing. Rancho Santa Marta is a deeply Christian community. The first thing they do at the start of each week is the whole school gathers in an assembly, and they parade out the Mexican flag and sing the national anthem, and then one of the students leads them in prayer. They have, as one of their courses, Bible study, and then the orphans lead worship each Sunday in a chapel that they have right there on campus. In fact, when I asked Francisco what kind of music he listened to, he looked around at everyone and he said, "Praise music." And I said, "Just praise music?" And he nodded and said, "Oh yes, only praise music." These are folks, they know who Jesus is. They've heard the gospel. And I noticed as I was reading the passage from Matthew today that Jesus sends his disciples explicitly not to Gentiles, not to Samaritans. He sends his disciples not to people who have a different faith. He sends his disciples only to Israelite villages, only to Jewish villages, only to people who share their same faith already. And so then I start to ask myself, well, what are we there to bring? And many times mission trips are there to bring tangible goods like medical supplies or something. But here's the thing. Jesus explicitly says in the verse after we finished our reading today, not to bring gold or silver or copper in your purse. He tells them not to take provisions, not even to take an extra change of clothes. His disciples are to bring nothing tangible to give to the people that they are out on a mission trip to serve. And the same thing has been the policy at Rancho Santa Marta for the 40 years that our congregation has been going there. The directors are very clear that we are not to bring toys or gifts for the children, because they want the children of Mexico not to see the United States as some place where toys and goodies come from so that they want to leave their community and go there someday. They want those children to be proud of their heritage, proud of their local community, and stick around to help build it up. Now, that said, in addition to the funds that we use to send ourselves down there, we do every year send $2,000 just as a gift to Rancho Santa Marta. But friends, we don't need to spend four long days of travel to wire that money down to them. So what is the point of our going down? Well, Jesus also, when he sends out his disciples, he gives them the authority to cast out demons and heal the sick and cure every disease. But I will say, in the 40 years of Faith Lutheran going down to Rancho Santa Marta, we have yet to cause someone's leg to grow back or to change someone's neurological wiring. It hasn't happened. So then what are we there to do? Well, Jesus sends his disciples out because he noticed a problem. He noticed that the people of his community were scattered and helpless. They were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees a lack of leadership among his people, and so he sends out the 12 disciples. Now, when we go down to Rancho Santa Marta, our explicit job is to do construction. And I will say this, if you all sent us down there to provide leadership in terms of construction, you sent the wrong 16 people. Of the 16 of us, only one of us knows anything about construction. That's Bob Bay. He's a contractor. But all of the 16 of us, only one of us speaks Spanish, and that's me. I know nothing about construction. And what it means is we have one person who can understand the words about the project we are doing and one person who can understand the concepts about the project we are doing, and they are not the same person. That said, we still do real and beneficial work. Every year we go down there, we work hard, but we also get to see the results of the work we did the previous year. I've got a picture here. This is from last year. This is us finishing the interior of a classroom. We went back this year and we got to see that classroom transformed, and it's now an active kindergarten special ed classroom. And friends, it gives you such satisfaction to see your hard work actually being used to care for children. But I will say, there is always a sense that for all the work that we do, it requires the staff of Rancho Santa Marta to teach us and supervise us as we do that work. And sometimes it feels like the amount of energy we give them is just taken up by watching over us. And in fact, it might be more efficient for us once again to just send the money down there and for them to hire local competent labor to get the job done. That said, leadership does come out of Rancho Santa Marta. I am struck every year by the ways in which every single person of the group that we send down there becomes a leader. And in part of it, it's because none of us know what we're doing, and so good ideas can come from anyone. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager or a senior citizen. If you've got an idea how to make it work, please share it. And also, we're all exhausted, which means we take turns encouraging each other. We take turns telling each other to rest. We take turns affirming and building each other up, because when you don't know what you're doing, it's easy to feel down on yourself. And then at the end of the day, we rotate who leads chapel. And what that means is each person gets a chance to plan worship. Each person gets a chance to pray. Each person gets a chance to help craft a message, to make sense for the group of all the work and experiences we had that day. Real Christian leadership comes out of Rancho Santa Marta. It comes for the people who go down from Faith Lutheran. But I don't know how much it does for Francisco, who wants to know if the world sees him as good or bad, because after a week, we all leave. And here's the thing, Jesus' disciples, they also leave. It doesn't tell us exactly how long Jesus sends these 12 out for, but scholars think it's anywhere from a few weeks to maybe a few months, because we don't get any stories about what they do. It's just Jesus sends them out, they come back, and they go on and do the next thing. these 12 disciples can't be the leaders for those villages because those 12 disciples aren't sticking around those villages. But what those 12 disciples can do is remind the people in those villages that long ago God already made them, the people of those villages, into leaders. In the book of Exodus, when the Hebrew people were nothing but escaped slaves, wandering in the desert with nothing that they could give the world tangibly, God led them to Mount Sinai, and there God said to them that they would be for God a priestly kingdom, a holy nation, that they would connect the world to God and the kingdom of heaven, not by any tangible presence they could give, but by their spiritual presence, by simply being in the world. When the director of Rancho Santa Marta learned that our director of children and youth ministry, Josh, was a photographer, he asked Josh on the first day to take pictures of the kids, to take pictures of them throughout the whole week, and at the very end, to show them those pictures. And so on Friday night, our last night at Rancho Santa Marta, we invited 50 orphans and the adults that took care of them up to the dorms where we were staying, and we cooked them a delicious dinner of roasted pork, which Karen Avis prepared for us ahead of time. And after we served them, we said, come to see these pictures that we have taken of you. And we crammed 70 people in this tiny room around a small TV, and Josh started the slideshow. And in that slideshow, they saw pictures of themselves playing and laughing and running around. But they also saw pictures of us working alongside them. They saw pictures of a man named Tali, and I have that picture here. Tali's the one with the off-road racing t-shirt. Tali is now a grown man, but he started off as a 6-year-old boy growing up at Rancho Santa Marta. He went away and made a career for himself and eventually decided he wanted to come back and work there in the metal shop. The kids saw a picture of him, one of their own, teaching Christian, a strong young man from the United States who wanted nothing more than to spend a week at the foot of Tali, learning how to weld from him, because Christian knew that Tali had something that Christian wanted to learn. They saw a picture of David, this boy who arrived at 6 years old, missing a leg. They saw a picture of him on top of a roof, teaching an American pastor how to de-shingle a roof so that they could put up a new one. And they saw a picture of Francisco, this boy who wondered if the world saw him as good or bad. They saw a picture of him as we see him, a young man who is strong, not just in body, but in spirit, whose smile lights us up every single day. They saw themselves through our eyes, which is a group of young people who are whole and holy, who are leaders for us because they lead us into the kingdom of God where they are. Friends, before Jesus tells his disciples to heal and raise the dead, he tells them first to go proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. In the kingdom of heaven, we will be made perfect. But to bring the kingdom of heaven near is to treat people as if they are already that perfect person that God has made them to be. After we showed the slideshow, I was talking some more with Francisco, and I had felt that the answer I gave him that first night as to whether we thought he was good or bad wasn't satisfactory. And so this time I asked him a question. I asked him, why do you think we come down to Rancho Santa Marta? And he thought about it for a second. He said, well, from what I heard is you want to help us. And I said, yeah. I said, but the main reason we come down here is because You remind us how to be Christians. You show us the kingdom of God because it is right here. He thought about that for a second, and then I guess he decided he didn't have anything else he wanted to say because he ran off and started playing volleyball with the other kids and with us. And it was the kingdom of heaven come near. Friends, we don't have to go to Mexico. There is so much need in the villages around us. There are so many people who think they have nothing to give, that wonder if the world sees them as good or bad. And to such a need, you may wonder, what do I have to offer? What gifts can I give? The answer is, your presence is the greatest present. Find someone this week who you know is feeling down on themselves, who you know wonders what they have to offer the world. Friends, maybe that person is you. But go and find someone else and help that person see themselves through God's eyes. Help them see themselves through your eyes. And together, you will both become a priestly kingdom. Amen.